Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. This is a bonus episode of sorts. My podcast Sherpa, Kathy McEntee, said I should have an introductory segment educating folks how to lecture. Whether you're an experienced lector that doesn't need anyone to tell you what to do, or a newbie just figuring things out. Quick piece of advice, no, Paul never wrote a letter to the Philippines. There's something for everyone here. I'll share how I prepare and practice, and some things I incorporate into my delivery. So, I said prepare and practice. Aren't they the same thing? To me, preparation is internal. It's for me. What is God saying to me? What is the message to me? If the reading has no meaning to me, how can I convey anything to my listeners? In a perfect world, I like to start a week before my scheduled assignment date. In the real world, I take as much time as I can carve from my schedule. I'll read the passage several times and reflect on its message. I told a priest friend of mine about this podcast and asked if he had any ideas. I was thinking about him telling everyone he knew about Bob the Lector to spread the word, but he's one of those contemplative prayer guys, so he had something else in mind. He told me to apply Lectio Divina to my preparation. For those not in the know, Lectio Divina is a form of contemplative prayer with four parts: read, meditate, pray, and contemplate. Imagine doing that daily for the week before your reading. In the spirit of full disclosure, remember I said I'd talk about how I prepared? Well, I don't currently use Lectio Divina in my prep. My day job makes that kind of tough. Hopefully someday, though. Okay, now for practice. I write out, by hand, not typing, my assignment. Sometimes I find things I wouldn't otherwise uncover just by reading. I often discover words or phrases that are repeated. Here's an example from Isaiah. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come, without paying and without cost. And later, come to me heedfully. Come is repeated four times, so I emphasize it. I also look for parallel construction. Here's an example from 1 Corinthians. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God. I use a cadence that emphasizes Paul's sentence structure. I highlight these, the repeated words or the parallel construction, using a different color to group together those with a common connection. After writing it out longhand, I put the reading into an MS Word document. Fortunately, our parish liturgy coordinator emails the readings in that form in advance. But if you don't have that luxury, copy it into the word processing program of your choice. I make the margins as small as possible and the font as big as possible, old eyes. I create line breaks consistent with pauses, certainly at the end of a sentence or clause, as well as at other natural transitions. Remember the highlighting I did on the handwritten sheet? I carry them over to this page. When reading, use a tone, cadence, or inflection to draw attention to the repetition or parallel construction. I use that page at the ambo, either inserting that sheet into the lectionary or, at my parish, in the presider's book, a binder, actually. I practice my reading aloud many times, experimenting with different approaches. Some find it helpful to practice in front of a mirror or in front of family or a friend. Some folks record themselves, then listen to the playback. This will identify how much you vary the tone of your voice, any points you might want to emphasize, and the amount of enthusiasm you communicate. Pronunciation. Every now and then there's a name that defies the laws of phonics. For these, I go to the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops Daily Readings podcast. Now for some tips at the ambo. Some of these are pretty obvious. Project. People need to hear you. Get familiar with your microphone. Is it too weak? Is it too hot? Where is the optimal placement? Right in front of your mouth? Just below your mouth? What is the right distance from your mouth? Look out for those plosive P's. Enunciate. People need to understand you. Eye contact. This is huge. Do we ever talk with a friend while looking down? I rest one hand on the ambo and use my index finger as a placeholder on my spot, so when I look up to make eye contact, I'm not lost when I come back to the text. Don't talk too fast unless it's done intentionally to add energy to your reading. It's okay to pause. More about this later. Be enthusiastic. Be different. One of the most important components of successful public speaking is to know your audience. Let's face it, lecturing is just a specialized form of public speaking. Who's our audience? Well, take a look. Start with a mirror. Who do you see? First, a sinner. Let's face it, we all are. Then think of all the hats you wear in your life and all the emotions you feel and have felt in that life. The people in the pews facing the sanctuary, some are just like you, some aren't. Picture the young couple getting married next month. Picture the middle-aged woman with three kids whose husband left her. Picture the recent college graduate moving across the country to start a new job and a new life. Picture the husband with two kids who lost his job. Picture the junior high kid bullied at school. Picture the senior citizen that lost their spouse of 49 years. Picture the person having an extramarital affair at work. Picture the child whose parent was diagnosed with brain cancer. Who's our audience? Each of God's children is part sinner and part saint, a disparate bunch. Think about the ones you see from the lectern, many of whom you know. Read to them, and read to those you don't know. And like the random list just mentioned, they may be happy, sad, or somewhere in between. Who's our audience? Well, they're distracted, probably by what Jesus describes as the anxieties of daily life. Get their attention. Make God's word easily accessible by rendering it captivating. Who's our audience? Here's a different take. Imagine you were the author writing the passage, or you were the person in that passage. What were they feeling? Were they scared, mad, silly, or sometimes a combination of feelings that change over the course of your reading? And who is the author's target audience? Was it the Israelites in Babylonian captivity who had lost all sense of hope? Be that hope, because there are listeners who are overwhelmed by similar hopelessness. Or was it Paul chewing out the Corinthians for the divisions in their own church? Guess what? We have factions today in our own families, parishes, and country. With your delivery, bring those 1,000-plus-year-old sentiments into the here and now. How do we go from good to great? There's a book, Silent Messages, by Dr. Albert Mehrabian. He says, a listener will emotionally connect and be more responsive to a message based on 7% verbal, the words themselves, 38% tone of voice, and 55% facial expression. Only 7% is the words. For effective and meaningful communication, these three parts of the message need to support each other. They must be consistent. In case of any incongruence, the receiver of the message will be confused by the two messages coming from two different channels, pointing the listener in two different directions. If the words are joyful, 7%, but the tone of voice is monotonous, 38%, joy loses and monotony wins. Not what we want. Use pauses to create suspense. I'll give an example of this in a second. Consider rephrasing declarative sentences or word segments into questions. Pause, then complete the sentence as an answer to your question. Take Malachi. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. Versus this. Maybe with a subtle, mischievous smile, possibly delivered a little side-eyed, with an expression asking a question you already know the answer to, but your listeners do not. But for you who fear my name? Pause to build suspense. Create a small vacuum that unsettles your listeners. You break their expectations of someone who is supposed to be talking, but now, unexpectedly, is not. During this pause, scan the pews from one side to the other. You draw them in for the punchline. Then change your expression from someone asking a rhetorical question to the bearer of God's good news. Smile warmly. Briefly extend your pause with this new expression, adding to their anticipation. Then return your eyes to the text and close with a joyous tone of voice. There will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. Here's another tool for your tool belt. Sometimes the most powerful segment of your reading, like this particular sentence, appears at the end. If that's the case, pause again while maintaining intent eye contact on the congregation, letting the message sink in before closing the word of the Lord. Create emotions. Of course, the easiest emotion is joy. All we have to do is smile. Because so many readings bear good news, there are lots of opportunities for this. To have even more impact, deliver these segments with eye contact that is warm and intimate. Let's go back to Malachi. Did you notice the chuckle in the back of my throat when I closed that sentence? But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. Not that you could tell, but I was smiling too. That's aligning the words, the tone of voice, and the facial expressions to deliver joy to God's people. A word of caution, though. If you use techniques like this to create emotion, they must be real. They must be backed up by your own true feelings. This is why the internal preparation is so important. If someone does this without heart, the reading will come across as contrived and inauthentic. Are there any power words? If so, give them special emphasis. Again, let's go back to Malachi. Justice and healing. There will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. Justice was delivered with a forceful tone, healing with a soothing one. Okay, enough of Malachi. What's next? If appropriate, use a conversational style. I like to read the way I talk, like I'm chatting with a friend. If appropriate, be passionate. Don't be afraid to go out on a limb. Believe in what you're saying. Know there is someone there in the congregation who is dying inside and desperately needs some good news in his or her life. Bring God's word to life. My hope is you add Bob the Lector to your preparation and practice to help you find your authentic voice so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions. How do you prepare and practice? If you're okay giving me permission to use your tips on a future podcast, please email them to me to info@bobthelector.org. If you mention your name, town, and parish, might even give you a shout out. Because the good news deserves great delivery. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to Maggie Rose, my editor, for this episode. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org for podcast notes. And we'll see you at the Ambo.